الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 59 Pearls of Wisdom from Qut al-Qulub Part 2. Attar Supplication. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet 59 Pearls of Wisdom from Qut al-Qulub Part 2, grant them a life of righteous deeds and obedience to you, death upon faith, and entry into Jannatul Firdaus without reckoning. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Virtue of sending salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Once a beggar requested alms from a group of disbelievers. They mockingly sent him to Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, who was present. The beggar approached and held out his hand. Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu recited salat 10 times, blew on the beggar's palm and said, "Close your fist and open it in front of the people who sent you." The disbelievers were laughing, thinking a mere breath would achieve nothing. However, when the beggar opened his hand before them, he found a dinar inside. Witnessing this marvel, several disbelievers embraced Islam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 1. The pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, preferred abundant bowing, ay ruku, and prostration, ay sujood, during daytime prayers, whilst they preferred to stand longer, ay in qiyam, during the night prayers. The devil's tactics. Number 2. Satan possesses a saut, ay something to inhale through the nose, a lauk, ay something to lick, and a larur, something to sprinkle. When a person inhales the saut, their character turns foul. When they are fed the lauk, their tongue becomes tainted with evil and malice. And when the devil sprinkles the darur, the servant remains in a deep slumber until morning. Number 3. Divine protection and fulfillment. Bismillahi ma shaa Allahu wa la quwwata illa billahi. Ma shaa Allahu kullu ni'matin min Allahi. Ma shaa Allahu al-khayru kulluhu biyadihi Allahi azza wa jalla. Ma shaa Allahu la yusrifu su'a illa Allah. Translation: in the name of Allah, whatever Allah wills, there is no power except through Allah. Whatever Allah wills, every blessing comes from Allah. Whatever Allah wills, all goodness is in the power of Allah, the mighty and majestic. Whatever Allah wills, no one can remove evil except Allah. Whoever recites these words regularly whilst awake and before sleeping remains under Allah's protection and is protected from Satan. It is stated in a hadith, whoever recites these words 100 times before sunset on the day of Arafah, Allah proclaims from the Arsh, "You have pleased me, and my grace is upon you. Ask of me whatever you wish. I shall grant it to you." Number 4. Value the moments between the azan and the iqama, for this is an excellent time to supplicate. Number 5. A great blessing. The mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha as-Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, once gave a single grape to a beggar. The narrator says, "We were astonished and looked at one another." So she said, "Why are you amazed? This grape contains many small pieces." The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Man tasaddaqa bi'adli tamratin min kasbin tayyibin, wa la yaqbalu Allahu illa at-tayyiba, wa inna Allaha yataqabbaluha biyaminihi, thumma yurabbiha li sahibihi kama yurabbi ahadukum falawwahu hatta takuna mithla al-jabal. Whoever gives charity equal to a date from lawful earnings, and Allah accepts only that which is pure, then Allah accepts it with His right hand and increases it for the person, just as one of you rears his foal until it becomes as large as a mountain. It should be noted that the phrase "his right hand" does not refer to a physical, bodily right hand. Rather, this phrase belongs to the mutashabihat, i.e. ambiguous expressions, and its meaning is exactly that which is befitting the majesty of Allah Almighty. Number 6. The great Tabi Sayyiduna Sa'id bin al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi stated, whoever performs the 5 daily prayers in congregation has filled 2 lands and 2 seas with worship. Number 7. What is intelligence? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, intelligence granted by Allah is to know what He has commanded and what He has prohibited. Number 8. The state of the grave. It is narrated that a person's grave will have the same tranquility that he experienced during his prayers. He will find comfort in his resting place, similar to the comfort he felt during prayer. Number 9. Some pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, when reciting a surah, would repeat the entire surah if their hearts were not focused. Number 10. Allah Almighty and the Holy Quran. Whilst the great Tabi'i elder, Sayyiduna Imam Jafar bin Muhammad As-Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi was praying, he experienced such an extraordinary state that he fell unconscious. Upon regaining consciousness, he was asked why he fainted, to which he replied, I was reciting a single verse repeatedly until I heard it from the one who spoke it, i.e. Allah. Before the majesty and power of Allah, my body could not remain in its place. Number 11. Etiquettes for the reciter of the Noble Quran. The reciter of the Holy Quran should remain fearful when reciting blessed verses that mention glad tidings, praise, excellent attributes, or the ranks of those close to Allah. Do not imagine yourself as having achieved that station, nor consider yourself worthy of it. Rather, view other believers as possessing that rank. Conversely, when reciting verses in which displeasure is expressed towards people, mentioning their reprehensible traits, and describing the stations of the heedless and the condition of the sinners, consider yourself to be in that position and know that you are the one being addressed in these blessed verses. Number 12. The Noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, amongst the people who recite the Quran with the most beautiful voices is the man who, when you hear him, you think that he fears Allah. Number 13. Recite this supplication during the prostration of recitation, i.e. sajda at-tilawa. Allahumma ij'alni min al-baqin ilayka al-khashi'in laka. Translation, O Allah, make me amongst those who weep before you and those who are fearful of you. Number 14. Sayyiduna Yusuf bin Asbat rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, what supplication do you make upon the completion of the Qur'an? He replied, what should I ask for? I seek forgiveness 100 times for the shortcomings in my recitation. Number 15. Reciting one manzil, i.e. portion of the Holy Qur'an daily, is virtuous, and it is also a sunnah. Number 16. A supplication for Friday. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَتَجَاوَزْ عَمَّا تَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Translation, O my Lord, forgive me and have mercy upon me, and pardon every sin of mine that is within your knowledge. You are the best of those who show mercy. Number 17. Safeguarding a trust. Safeguarding a trust, i.e. amana, means to keep it concealed. If it is disclosed without necessity, it is a breach of trust, because the one who entrusted it does not wish for it to be revealed. True protection of something hidden is to forget about it after storing it somewhere, whereas its loss lies in having many places of protection for it. Number 18. It is permissible for a fasting person, in response to verbal abuse, to say, "I am fasting." Excellent points. Number 19. A stranger is one who has no friend. Number 20. Suspicion drives a person away from his friend. 21. Respecting someone is the best habit. Number 22. Modesty is the cause of every good and righteous deed. Number 23. The strongest means by which you can control your nafs, i.e. carnal self, is the bond that exists between you and Allah. Number 24. Whoever does not refrain from a doubtful matter, i.e. that in which there is doubt regarding its lawfulness or prohibition, has made himself obedient to the desires of the carnal self. Number 25. Allah Almighty does not accept any action without its correct method, and the correct method is to acquire knowledge of it. Number 26. Allah will proclaim on the day of resurrection. Allah will say on the day of judgment, "O servant, you were mine, yet you continued to take others as friends besides me. You consumed my provision, yet you performed deeds for the sake of others." Number 27. Adulterated deeds are not accepted. If some dung or blood is mixed with milk, we no longer obtain the blessing of milk. Similarly, our deeds must be pure and free from selfish desires, so that after fulfilling our obligations and rights, we may become deserving of reward. Just as when we see dung or blood mixed with milk, we abandon it and do not use it, when the all-wise and all-aware Lord finds ostentation and other impurities in our deeds, He returns them to us and does not accept them. Number 28. No act of worship can be perfect unless one is protected from desires. Number 29. Remaining steadfast in standing in prayer at night, i.e. qiyam, is the most difficult act. Diligently performing litanies, i.e. orad, is a characteristic of the believers and the way of the worshippers, i.e. the Abideen. Number 30. When Allah makes a person accustomed to worship, but he abandons it due to laziness, Allah Almighty becomes displeased with him. Number 31. The importance of time. The one who disobeys Allah today more than he did yesterday is deprived. And whoever does not increase his good deeds today compared to yesterday is also at loss. Number 32. It is narrated from an Arif, i.e. a saint of Allah, who possesses divine recognition, "For me to be tested by being cast into fire is more beloved to me than being tested by being plunged into sin." Number 33. Some scholars have likened the greed of the nafs to a fly that passes by bread smeared in honey. In its desire to obtain all the honey, it falls into it. Its wings stick to the honey and it dies. On the other hand, another fly passes by the same bread, approaches the honey just enough to fulfill its need, then withdraws safely and unharmed. Number 34. How to control and overpower the nafs. Shaykh Abu Talib al-Makki rahmatullahi alayh states, whoever wishes to become the master of his nafs is given control over it, and eventually he overpowers it. Therefore, if you want to have control over your nafs, first be strict with it. If you strive to overpower it in this manner, you will certainly succeed. But if you are not firm with it, it will overpower you. Hold it accountable from every aspect. For if you do not restrain it, it will sweep you away along with itself. The first step of gaining control over the nafs is to keep a strict watch over it at every moment. Instead of acting upon every thought that arises in the heart, pause and reflect first. If the thought is for the sake of Allah, act upon it immediately. If it is not for His sake, expel it from the heart at once, so it does not settle firmly therein. Number 35. It is narrated from the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, that every day in which Allah is not disobeyed is a day of Eid for us. Number 36. A sign of displeasure. The scholars state, a sign of Allah's displeasure is that a person continues to point out the faults in others whilst forgetting his own, assuming that Allah is displeased with others, yet is certain that Allah loves him. Number 37. The causes of remaining continuously embroiled in sins are abandoning self-accountability, delaying repentance, procrastination in steadfastness, and not turning to Allah in repentance and seeking forgiveness. Number 38. The limit of sins. Sayyiduna Hassan rahmatullahi alayh states that a limit has been set between Allah and His servant regarding sins. When a servant reaches the limit, his heart is sealed, and he is never granted the ability to do good. Therefore, O you who have exceeded the boundaries, hasten towards repentance and return immediately before reaching that boundary. Otherwise, you will face exhaustion and hardship. Number 39. A servant cannot be free from two states at any moment, however brief. He is either in a state of blessing or a state of affliction. So it is necessary for the servant to be grateful in the state of blessing and to be patient during times of hardship. Number 40. Division of time. It is incumbent upon an intelligent person to divide his time into four portions. One portion for private supplication to Allah, i.e. munajat. One portion for self-accountability. One portion dedicated to reflection upon the universe created by Allah Almighty. And one portion reserved for necessities such as eating and drinking, as this will support one in performing the tasks of the other periods. Number 41. Concern for the hereafter in this world. The world is viewed in three ways, and every person observes them according to his state and rank. Some view the world through the lens of lesson and insight. They are the people of intellect, i.e. the ulu al-albab, from whose hearts the veils have been lifted. These are the people who possess true hands and eyes and occupy the station of reflection. This is the rank of the scholars who are the heirs of the prophets, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Some look at the world and its people through the lens of mercy and wisdom. This is the station of those who are fearful. Others view it with lust and desire. This is the station of those who are doomed. This refers to those who are engrossed only in the pursuit of worldly gain, and they fall into regret when they fail to obtain it. Number 42, attaining the rank of the Siddiqeen. Sayyiduna Abu Muhammad rahmatullahi alayh said that a person cannot truly reach the rank of the Siddiqeen, i.e. the highest station of the awliya, until four qualities are found in him, performing obligatory duties in accordance with the sunnah, eating only lawful food with regard to piety and righteousness, avoiding prohibited acts outwardly and inwardly, remaining steadfast upon this condition with patience and perseverance until death. Number 43. There is no end to deeds. Sayyiduna Hassan rahmatullahi alayhi said, by Allah, there is no end to a person's deeds except death. By Allah, a believer is not one who performs an action only for a month or two, or a year or two. Rather, a believer remains firm upon the command of Allah and continues to fear his hidden decree. Number 44. Learning silence through a pebble. One of the pious predecessors, rahmatullahi alayhi, states, I learnt to remain silent by means of a pebble, which I kept in my mouth for 30 years. Whenever I intended to speak, it caused a stutter in my tongue, and I would become silent. Number 45. Two cycles of prayer for every vain word. A pious elder states, I made a covenant with my nafs that for every idle word I said, I would offer 2 units of prayer. However, this proved easy for me. Then I imposed upon myself to observe 1 fast for every such word. This was also easy. I did not stop there. I made it binding upon my nafs to give 1 dirham in charity for every word. This became difficult for the nafs, and ultimately I succeeded in refraining from idle talk. Number 46. An arif said, knowledge has been divided into 2 parts. Half of knowledge is to remain silent, and the other half is knowing where to place, i.e. express, that knowledge. Number 47. Sayyiduna Al-Amash rahmatullahi alayhi said, there are certain matters for which the only answer is silence. Number 48. Say, I do not know, instead of, I know. The scholars state, say the phrase, La Adri, I do not know, and never say, Adri, I know. If you say, I do not know, people will teach you until you become knowledgeable. But if you say, I know, they will question you until you cannot answer a question. Number 49. The importance of silence. It is narrated that just as you learn to speak, you should also learn to remain silent. For if speech guides you, silence protects you. 2 matters are attained through silence. Through silence, you can remove the ignorance of someone who is more ignorant than you. Through silence, you can acquire knowledge from a person who is more learned than you, i.e. by remaining silent and allowing them to speak, your own knowledge increases. Number 50. Piety in speech. Sometimes, even one who speaks beneficially becomes embarrassed due to speaking at an inappropriate time. The scholars say that a person's piety is reflected in his speech. When speech decreases, correctness increases. It is narrated from many pious predecessors, rahmatullahi alayhim, that 9 out of 10 parts of safety lie in silence. Number 51. 3 types of records of deeds. It is narrated that for every spoken word, 3 types of records of deeds will be opened. Number 1. The first record will ask why this was said. Number two, the second record will ask how it was acted upon. And number three, the third will ask who it was spoken for. If a person is saved from the questioning of all three records, then he is successful. Otherwise, his stay will be prolonged because of accountability. Number 52. The tongue of a believer and hypocrite. Sayyiduna Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi states, the tongue of a believer is behind his heart. Whenever he intends to speak, he reflects. If it is in his favor, he speaks. And if it is detrimental, he refrains. Whereas the heart of the hypocrite is at the tip of his tongue. Whatever thought arises in his heart, he immediately utters it. He does not pause even for a moment, nor does he retract his words. Number 53. Glad tidings for one who refrains from idle talk. In speech, there is affection, embellishment, and excess, whereas in silence, there is safety and gain. Among the blessed counsels of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is glad tidings for the one whose own faults make him heedless of the faults of others, who spends his surplus wealth, and who refrains from idle talk. Number 54. The importance and excellence of seclusion. Seclusion diminishes the ability of the nafs to indulge in worldly pleasures because its observation of the world through the eyes ceases. Since the eyes are the gateway to the heart, through which afflictions enter and where desires and pleasures reside, seclusion gives rise to reflection upon the hereafter. Number 55. A means of worldly inclination. Eating to one's fill is a means of worldly inclination. It is narrated from some noble companions, radiallahu anhum, that the first innovation to appear after the beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was eating to one's fill. This is because when people's stomachs are full, their desires become unrestrained. Number 56. It is narrated from the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha as-Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his noble companions radiyallahu anhum remained hungry through their own volition without any compulsion. Number 57. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma states, since Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu was martyred, I have not eaten to my fill. Number 58. The great Tabi'i elder Sayyiduna Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, by Allah, I have encountered people who never ate to their fill. Rather, if one of them did eat, it was only to the extent that they gained strength, after which they immediately stopped eating. He further stated, a believer never eats to his fill, rather his will is always beneath his side, meaning he is constantly mindful of death. Number 59. It is narrated from Sayyiduna Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi that two things cause the heart to harden: eating to one's fill and speaking excessively. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.